This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Klaus Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. And we are in studio at the WROK studios in Rockford. And if you are listening to this right now and want to call in with any of your questions, 815-398-9765 is the number. 815-398-WROK. Malia and Kyle, welcome onto the Michael Coolidge Show and Klaus Financial's Money in Motion.
Thanks, Mike. We're glad to be here and glad you're smiling through the Cubs win and everything else. I mean, this is a great month for you.
Yes,
isn't it?
This is fantastic.
Double winner.
And there was a slight hiatus with Malia. We haven't talked with you on the Klaus Financial Money Motion Wine. We're so thrilled to see you again and to see you in person. I didn't tell you this off the air, but you look great, by the way.
Thank you.
Kyle, I've never met you before in person.
You look better than ever.
You look better than ever. All right. So, as always, we're going to do our Klaus quiz question of the week later. This week, the first person to call with the correct answer wins a $25 gift card to Bass Pro Shops. Again, $25 gift card to Bass Pro Shops. Now, if you wouldn't mind explaining to our listeners, the differences between fees and commissions from investment advisors. I know some people are looking to get into getting advice on their finances, and you hear fees and commissions. Are they the same thing or are they different?
Well, ultimately, it all comes down to things cost money, right? So traditionally, investment advisors there was only one way to basically do business with them. And that typically was you come in with your pot of money, they sell you a product, and from that, they would go ahead and rake over a commission to themselves. Quite honestly, what we've seen in our industry, unfortunately, over the years, is that those same investment advisors, you never heard from them again. And why was that? Typically because they've already gotten their commission. So we talk about A shares, C shares. A shares people are familiar with mutual funds. And what happens there is that you may pay as much as 5% for your initial contribution, just raked off the top to pay that investment advisor. What we've seen the industry do and what we've done in the last few years is move towards what we call fee-based investing, where if we're managing an allocation for a client, you're paying a percentage, which means we have skin in the game, as does the client. If your accounts go down, your advisor's going down as well at the same time. So we have similar interests. We want to make sure as a fiduciary that we have your best interests at heart and you're only paying for true management of your portfolio. A lot of people think that if they're engaged in their 401ks at work, there's no charge there. Actually, that's not the case. There are portfolio managers always being charged something. Those internal fees could be as much as 0.75 up to 1%. So just be aware of that. You want to make sure that you understand what the fees are internally. And some people say, you know, I have an annuity and I'm pretty sure I never paid anything for that. Well, again, those are situations where the internal costs of the funds that those annuities are associated with, there's fees. You don't see them, but they're coming out in the share price. And sometimes we've seen annuities charge as much as 4 to 5% internally. So we're all about transparency. We want to make sure that you are in the right type of portfolio and that you're totally aware what those fees are. So I think it's important to understand you really do want to partner up with someone that definitely can relay what the costs are.
And I know there are a lot of costs with when you're putting together your retirement plan at work. Is that something that we should be concerned with as well, as far as the differences between fees and commissions go?
Exactly. So again, back with the 401k or your 403b at work, there are costs internally for those, but you're also not getting any service usually. I mean, you call them 1-800 number and they will give you a couple items that you could look at, your list of choices. But generally speaking, you're going to have to pay for any any detailed advice. So again, it may make sense for you to speak to a financial advisor. A group like ourselves, we don't charge anything for that first appointment, just to sit down. We're happy to give you some insight, maybe how you're currently invested, and see if it makes sense for you to do anything over and beyond what you have at work.
Yeah, we emphasize that a lot, listeners, but it's really important. If you meet with Kloss Financial and sit down and get advice from them for that initial consultation, it is free. So you have nothing to lose by calling up Kloss Financial and making an appointment with them. Now, I know when people are putting money into their portfolios, some people are worried about liquidity. Can you explain liquidity and what that is exactly?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. It's a great question. So liquidity is obviously how fast you can get to the money if you need it, because obviously bills don't pay themselves and we need money when we get there. So we always, you know, make sure people have a emergency reserve. That's your most liquid fund that you can go to the bank at any time and get that money out, usually within a day or two. And not having liquidity is a huge risk, just as much as an inflation or anything like that, because like I said, those bills don't pay themselves. So where are we going to get these funds when the bills do come up? So the lack of liquidity is a huge risk. And there's different types of liquidity when we look at different types of assets, and the risk associated with the liquidity is different based on the assets. So for a lot of people, one of their largest assets is their home. The fact of the matter is, with a home that you live in, it's not a very liquid asset. Yes, you could sell it, but if you're hard up for money, you're probably going to sell it for less than what it's actually worth and things like that. And you can't really eat your house, so who's going to put the food in the pantry and all that kind of stuff? So we definitely have to be careful with that. And then also, you know, lenders are always approving people for, you know, they have their ratio that they use, which is about 28% of your income is how much house they will approve you for. We tend to have clients not really use that maximum amount, because we want to be using these funds for other types of goals, like putting money into your savings account, putting money in the 401k. So we don't like seeing clients that are house poor, which can be a big risk for a lot of people.
That's a huge point, and I know friends of mine who've done that. We made that we had to think about that when we bought our house years ago, and I'm so glad we did. The less than 28% of our income as far as our payments go, because a lot of people, they fall in love with the house, they're like, oh, it's perfect, and it's 50% of our monthly income, and you know, like you said, you can't eat your house.
Right, absolutely.
You have no money left over to put in a portfolio.
You're exactly right, and so many people used to buy a house. Obviously 2008 kind of blew this all up, but people always thought, you know, oh, houses don't go down in value, they're just another investment, and that's not true at all. It's a house. It has costs embedded in it, and they are very expensive to maintain, and yes, they do lose value occasionally.
Yeah, a lot of people learn that the hard way. What about office buildings and REITs? Those are like real estate stocks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of clients, you know, that have large net worths, but this may be tied up in many different types of properties. So yes, office buildings that they're renting out, you know, you could have an office building that costs you $1 million or $2 million, but you can't just go and grab that money whenever you want it. Usually you're getting a monthly rental payment that isn't $1 or $2 million. So, and then also in this area, we have a lot of farmers where maybe they're, you know, family worth is in a large farmstead or something like that, that they may have, you know, $10 or $12 million worth of ground that they farm. But again, you can't really, I guess, farmland you could kind of eat because you're growing what you need on it. But for having your so much of a person's net worth tied up in illiquid investments like that is not good. And then also real estate investment trusts. These are caught product. They came in probably the late 2000s, you know, going into 2008, real estate investment trusts. It was sold as a diversifier way that's not stocks, bonds, things like that, that kind of, they adjust a lot differently as far as that goes with their prices. So they're very illiquid, though. These can take 5 to 7 years to go through their full liquidity phase. So we can't always get our money out of there right away when we want to. So that's definitely something to be aware of. Whereas a traded REIT or your regular stocks, bonds, mutual funds, things like that, that trade on an exchange, well, there's obviously high liquidity there because they are sold every day and multiple times a day for the most part. So typically you can have your money out of those within 4 or 5 days versus something that you have to hold for years to get your money out of.
You are listening to Money in Motion, Kloss Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. If you have any questions at all about anything we're talking about, 815-398-9765 is the number, 815-398-WROK. We'll be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back on the Michael Kulich Show. Klaus Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial. We're going to ask our Klaus Quiz question of the week later, but you listening to this right now can ask any questions about anything we're talking about. 815-398-9765. 815-398-9765. We do have a message here. Mike in Rockford wants to know the presidential election results. Is that anything we need to worry about as far as our financial picture goes?
Well, that's a great question. I know it's on everybody's minds, especially prior to the results of the election, was what should I be doing? What do I do now? And interestingly enough, you know, we all know this. I mean, Michael here is part of the social media as well. Media drives a lot of fear. And interestingly enough, the night when we were all watching the results come in and they were telling us how down the futures were, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was hearing that from the media right off the top.
Smartest people in the world.
Yes, I know that. I know. And interestingly enough, just 2 days ago, I had one of my own clients say to me, "Well, I know the markets just were trashed the day after Trump was elected," and I didn't correct her, but the fact was they weren't.
Right.
She had seen exactly what I had seen, that the futures were down, and that was true, but that. You know, and I'm not saying that we're not going to be affected. The market does what the market does. It goes up and down and so forth. So our opinion has not changed. You need to stay diversified, just as we were talking about liquidity and so forth, all the different risks we're going to get into. You need to stay diversified. Keep to your own plan. Are there going to be different sectors affected next spring as we see the legislation start being rolled out? Absolutely. And that's why, again, are we just going to bet on healthcare sectors or energy sectors? We need to be diversified amongst all those markets. Certainly your age has a lot to do with how you're diversified. So hang tight. I'm pretty sure there will be some turbulence at some point. It's not a rosy ride. But if you're diversified and doing all the right things, you should be fine. So that really brings us a great question, is what are we going to face first? And some of that's probably going to be interest rate risk. Kyle just talked about liquidity risk. Interest rate risk is pretty real. Janet Yellen may or may not raise the rates slightly. We probably will see some inflation here in the next couple years to help pay for some of these things that probably are going to be changed, whether it be healthcare or other items. So interest rates are something to be watching over carefully. Right now, you know, through September, the inflation rate was 1.5%. Now, most of you may know that, those listeners who are retired, because your Social Security benefit is going up, albeit I think about $5 a person, not a ton.
Not
huge, but this is really the first time we've even had 1.5% inflation. So that's something to be watching. As inflation rates you know, slowly may go up, that's going to affect your bond exposure. Right now, most portfolios, we're seeing short-term bonds, but as inflation rates go up, we're going to see interest rates change in the bond sector. Equities tend to have a nice ride as well. But looking at credit risks, you know, you hear different companies having issues out there. Credit risk is important to be looking at as you invest, market risk in general, and of course, what we just described is political risk, social legislative risk. There you go. That's a big one right now. We're seeing a Congress we haven't seen in a while that's going to come to fruition, and we're going to see a lot of bills possibly passed that are going to affect a lot of different sectors. So risk is inherent in everything. And I think people who say, well, I'm just going to put my money under the pillow because there's nothing risky about that. Kyle, I mean, is that risky? What do you think?
Absolutely. There's risk in everything, and that goes back to, yes, we've had small inflation over the last few years, but historically inflation runs about 3% a year. So yes, if you put your money underneath your mattress, your dollar today is only worth 97 cents next year. That's just how inflation works. They say, you know, that there hasn't been inflation, but most people go to the grocery store on a regular basis, and you can see inflation in the price of milk and everything else. So it's definitely a risk, even though, yes, there's no investment risk is what that would be called in the market. But there is, you know, the inflation risk and also the default risk as well.
Is there such a thing as a risk-free rate?
There is. I mean, there's a term. It's a theoretical rate of return of an investment that has zero risk. So it's kind of like a barometer. The risk-free rate represents the interest an investor would expect from an absolutely risk-free investment over a period of time. So normally we correlate this to the U.S. Treasury bill. That's used as a risk-free rate. Interest rate on the three-month U.S. Treasury is often referred to as the risk-free rate. But in reality, as Kyle said, there's really no such thing as a completely risk-free rate, although we do use that as a benchmark.
We talked about the election, and people think world events might change things, and they want to think about maybe timing the market based on this. Oh, I follow politics, so I should be able to know what is going to happen here as far as the market goes. Can people time the market? Is that really possible?
Well, when you look at the statistics on it, the short answer is that no, you can't really time the market. Nobody has a crystal ball. Now, there are a lot of people on Wall Street that run hedge funds and everything else that swear to you that they can time the market and do a lot better, and some of them do. But it's just not a...
And by the way, a lot of those people said that... A lot of those were the people saying on election night that everything's going to go nuts when there's futures, but then we looked at the next day, things
Correct.
Came back. So
yeah, absolutely.
Even the smartest people, quote unquote, in the world can be wrong about something in even the short term.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's one of the things. So for those people who are highly educated, live this stuff every single day, the fact of the matter is over the long term, they're probably not going to be able to beat the market. So why does, you know, Joe next door, who follows the stock market in the morning paper every day, think that he can time the market better than these guys and place the different trades? And that's part of the reason why you've seen the, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, everybody was a day trader. And then you had the bubble of 2000 kind of blew that all up. So now you just don't hear about day trading anymore. So if you look statistically, no, the answer is that you can't really beat the market on a normal long-term basis. However, you can have a year where, you know, you do really well. And then on the other year, you could do really bad. So that's just not a practice that we like to recommend for anybody. And it's not a practice that we follow either. It doesn't align with our philosophy. We do more of what we call a globally diversified asset allocation strategy. So again, that's being globally diversified, which means we have internationals, we have U.S. companies, everything like that. So all we're trying to do is mitigate the risk over the long term to get us some decent returns. And like we were saying, there's risk in everything. So now globally diversified portfolios don't always go up. It's not the, you know, the magic pill or anything like that. But over the long term, that seems to work out best. But again, nobody can predict the future or anything like that. So,
what about the idea of actively timing things versus passively timing things, or actively investing, I should say, during passively? I understand in the financial advising community, there's a debate about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of goes back to timing the markets and things like that. So active management is what your mutual fund managers and things like that do, where they tweak their allocations within the mutual fund that they're running based on economic things going on in the economy, all that kind of stuff, versus, you know, the old adage was passive is just to buy stuff and go away. This is kind of what your Warren Buffett follows more than an active strategy. So historically, if you bought strictly the S&P 500, you're probably going to do better off than trying to do any of this other stuff with, you know, sector rotations and things like that. But the fact of the matter is that we are human beings, and the strictly math of just buying and holding, most people can't follow that strategy. Because for passive investing to work, you have to be able to stomach those 40, 50, 60% drops in a year. And for most people, when they get their statement and they see that they lost, you know, whatever that is, $5,000 this last quarter because the market tanked, most most people can't follow that strategy over the long term. So that's where it gets into, you know, we say our job some of the times is talking people off the ledge and just getting them to stick to the strategy. We know it doesn't feel good now, but we just have to stick to this and kind of work through it.
Hey, if you stuck to the strategy even half a decade ago, you'd be looking at your portfolio right now and doing really, really well, following the S&P 500 and the and the Dow. All right. Well, listeners, at this time, we're going to ask the Klaus Quiz question of the week. You, listening to this right now, can win a $25 gift card to Bass Pro Shops if you call 877-8440 in the 815 area code. Again, that's 815-877-8440. The Klaus Quiz question of the week is, the interest rate on a three-month U.S. Treasury bill is commonly referred to as blank. Again, the interest rate on a three-month U.S. Treasury bill is commonly referred to as blank. 815-877-8440. First person to call that number with the correct answer wins a $25 gift card to Bass Pro Shops. Malia and Kyle, we have about 2 minutes or so. Is there anything else you would like to add before we say goodbye?
Well, again, just a note about what we've all been through with the election. Since you brought that up earlier, I really think it's a time for people to take stock of their own situation. We can't control the world. That's the bottom line. We can control what's in our household. We can control how much we're contributing to our 401ks or other retirement accounts. We can try to control how much we spend through the holidays. You know, we all want everybody to help the economy, but ultimately, you need to make sure you're keeping things within your plan. So first thing I want people to do is take a look at how many more paychecks they have left for the rest of the year. And if they can add extra money into their 401ks and pay themselves first, that's really important.
Kyle?
No, I agree. Everything Malia said, you have to control what we can control. And that's what we work with clients more than anything is that, yes, we work in the stock market every day, but the reality is we don't control the market. So what we do try to help them through is just let's make smart decisions and find things where we can.
815-877-8440 is the number two, Klaus Financial. If you want to set up an appointment with them, they will help you out. You can also go to klausfinancial.com. That's KLAASfinancial.com. That's KLAASfinancial.com. Malia and Kyle, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
That's going to do it for this hour of the Michael Kuglitz Show and Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. Until next time, no matter what you do, keep that radio on.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klaus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klaus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaus Financial.